Lord's with us, and again, good to see our visitors here and our members. I hope everybody's had a good past week and enjoyed maybe some time off. I know some of you had some time off, and others worked even more so. Brother Josh was telling me there at the hospital, Brother Seymour, they in the surgery department. They, this is their busiest time of year. I never realized that. And because everybody's met their, what do you call it? Deductible. Yes, everybody's getting in the surgeries and getting in for the end of the year. And they've been slammed. But anyway, I know it's been busy. Folks have been traveling. But I'm glad to see the Lord's been answering prayer. Thank you for those who are praying for us. We had a wonderful week there in Gulf Shores with Joanna's family. Last week, just a wonderful time of rest and encouragement, and thank God for that opportunity. Thank you for your prayers. I was praying for y'all too. Heard the Wednesday night service went very well. Brother Ricky did a good job. Appreciate you doing that, Brother Ricky. And again, it's just so good to be back. As good a time as I was having, which I was, it was relaxing. I have to say, after about 4 days, I just couldn't get my mind off y'all and the church, and just wanted to be back with you. And to be here to serve the Lord with you and lead you as God has called. And so I'm thankful to be back and see what the Lord has. Well, if you want to be turning in your Bibles, we'll be in the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians. Had a few messages I was praying over for this morning, but this is the one I believe the Lord would have me bring. Philippians, we'll be there in chapter 3. What a neat day it is today, the first day of 2017, and day of new beginnings and new starts, and I should say restarts, and just some things that a time that we can look forward to see what God is going to do in the days ahead as we surrender to Him. And, you know, I just believe, folks, with all my heart, that 2017 is going to be a wonderful year for this church. I really believe that, and not because we're anything special, but I just believe that from what I can tell and what I know about you, I believe collectively together we want to see God work. Amen. We want to see Him do a great work in our hearts, and folks, God will bless that, our desire, and to do more than we've ever done before for His glory. And the passage this morning that we'll be looking at here in Philippians chapter 3, is Paul, of course, speaking to these believers, just like you and me, serving the Lord in their local church, and these folks he is encouraging. And this portion of Scripture, Paul is giving somewhat of a testimony, basically where he has come from, what God saved him from, what God is bringing him to, what his new desire is in Christ, and he's sort of describing that. And in fact, why don't we just read, starting there in verse 1. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. He says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe." He says here, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. He says, "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." And he says, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh," and he's going to begin his testimony here. "If any other man might think it that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh," Paul says, "I more." He says in verse 5, "Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." And listen to verse 7, he takes a turn. "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. In verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Verse 13 and 14 will be our text. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, You know, Lord, we come before You this morning as needy people. Lord, I do come before You recognizing my inability and my weakness to truly describe the truths in this passage. I know I cannot, Lord, but I know that You can. And I pray that even this morning through me, Lord, You would speak to every single person represented in this room. I pray, Father, that You would meet needs that only You can meet. And Lord, as we look at the very beginning here of 2017, and Lord, the months that will follow, the things that can take place, all depending on what we do with our pressing and our purpose and our desires to follow You. Lord, help this day to be the foundation for the rest of the year on the difference we can make for the glory of God. I do pray this and ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, our wonderful Savior. Amen. Well, we see here Paul talking about pressing towards the mark. And somewhat of a goal setter here. Paul himself, the apostle, talking about what we would consider a goal, a mark, as the Word of God will call it. But if you wanted to say this, if Paul had a New Year's resolution, I believe we would find it right here. I believe it's that time of year, people have been talking about it. And it's funny how we usually don't talk about New Year's resolutions until the day of. Because we know what we want to enjoy before we get to January 1st. It's like, we'll just wait till we get to the beginning of the year, and then we'll address it. That's the way we are. But a lot of times we see that is a temptation for us. But I want to tell you, Paul had this resolution in his heart at all times. This is something that he wanted to do. It was a desire of his to grow in Jesus Christ, to know Him better. You know, that's something that we all should be desiring to do, is to know Christ better. You know, that's one great thing about marriage, you know. And God intended to be that way. The husband is constantly knowing his wife, and the wife is constantly knowing her husband. There's always things that you're learning and relearning, amen. But the truth is, there is always a constant knowing and growing, and this is what Paul is going to be discussing here: his desire to grow and know Christ. Paul certainly was resolute. He certainly made this his main goal. And I'm trusting that God would help us to make Christ, to know Him, our main goal in 2017. Hey, listen, if I fail at everything else in life, but I get to know Jesus Christ better, hey, I have greatly succeeded. And the same goes for you, friend. There are things that you will fail in life, but if you continue growing and knowing the Savior, friend, you have succeeded. And that is God's desire. And of all people, church, the Apostle Paul, speaking with authority in this passage, speaks with great humility. If there was anybody that I would think that had arrived in their walk with Christ, I would say it had been the Apostle Paul. As I see his ministry, and as I see his attitude, and as I see his spirit and how God used him, even to write most of the New Testament, I would say, wow, that man has arrived. But no, no, no. that is not the truth, because even Paul himself, listen, I have not yet apprehended. I have not yet attained. I haven't arrived. And basically, you know what it goes against, folks? It goes against the Judaizers of the day. You know, they're still around. Folks that walk around like they have arrived. Folks, I want to tell you, that's wicked. That's just as wicked as the drunk down here in downtown Athens, sleeping on the bench. God help us when we ever get to the idea that we have arrived. Paul, that we see here, unlike the Judaizers, whose influence was prevalent among the Philippians, this apostle, the apostle Paul, did not claim to have attained this spiritual maturity. He was talking about, listen, folks, I haven't attained. I haven't got there yet. I'm still pressing on. And by God's help, I'm hoping that we will, as a church, and individually decide this morning that we will make it a point to press forward and to press on for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I trust that God, the Holy Spirit, will help us in doing just that. You know, Paul uses in his writings, it's very interesting, he in his illustrations to bring out truth from the Word of God, he often uses military terms. We studied the whole armor of God recently. The illustration he gives about the spiritual battle. He talks about architecture. He talks about our body being the temple of the Holy Ghost. He talks about agriculture. You know, whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. He uses these different illustrations, and he uses a whole lot. We see right here athletics. The illustration of athletes, whether they be runners, were very common here in the Roman times, whether it be runners or even whether it be chariot racers, which was very common in this time among the Romans and others. Very popular, Matt, and he's using that to bring out this truth that, folks, not only do we consider ourselves in a battle, but church, we're in a race. God has given us a race to run. And I want to say, it's not a sprint. It's not that running that 40-yard dash and see how fast we can get it. Folks, it's a marathon. It's a long race that God has given us to run with patience, as the writer of Hebrews states it. We see that it is a race, and that's what he's going to bring out here in these truths. It indicates a race, a running towards Christ to win Him. In fact, that's what we see here. We'll see later on in our passage that Paul talks about winning Christ. Well, what does that mean? We'll discuss that. And I believe if I were to ask everyone here today, I would ask you individually, do you want to be a winning Christian? I believe everyone here, I just believe this in my heart, would say yes. I would like to be a winning Christian. And I would like to fulfill the purposes which God has given me since He saved me. So what do we need to ask ourselves? Well, what are the essentials for winning the race that is set before us, that God has given us? What do we have to do to be able to stand before the Lord one day and have achieved our race? But can I say this real quickly, and we heard it from Brother Stevens during the Thanksgiving revival. There's no such thing as a mature Christian. There's no such thing as a perfect Christian. There's no such thing as a mature Christian, only maturing Christians. Because we are all constantly growing, none of us have arrived, and how thankful I am in that very fact. We're on a race. We're getting closer. We're running. You know, I think just it was sort of the first real long trip that we've taken with the kids being as old as they are, Marianne being 5 now, and it was interesting how the difference in the two, Marianne and Thomas, were in their perspective of the trip. Now, from here to Gulf Shores is only about 400 miles, so it wasn't that really long of a trip, but for a 5-year-old, you'd think we was riding around the globe. I mean, it was, what really got me, Brother Ricky, is I was just waiting. When's going to be the first comment, brother? I don't even think we got to Interstate 85 yet. Are we there yet? But I was explaining to her. I said, honey, we got a goal. We are on a track, and we have a goal of going to the beach. of going to the Gulf Shores to meet with our family. That is where we are going to. We are on our way. We are pressing. And in fact, Daddy is seeking not to press the gas pedal too hard to get there. But I was pressing, amen. I know we have some law enforcement officials. I got to be careful, Brother Ricky. I'm told that you can be allowed to go five after, but I have never had that confirmed. But I will say there was a serious pressing that was going on to get there. But nevertheless, old Mary Ann, she would pipe up, when are we going to get there? When are we going to get there? There was a patience needed there. But it was interesting, brother. I'm telling you, it was interesting. Old little Thomas, who's now three, he would just say, "Daddy, we there yet?" I said, "No, son, we'll be there in a little while." He'd say, "Ooh, can't wait to see my beach friends." That's what he was just happy about it. He wasn't complaining or whatnot, but I want to tell you something. The idea was when we got to that goal, man, when we pulled into that driveway, man, you got cousins everywhere already, cars, doors open, suitcases coming out. Man, I'm telling you what, the goal had been met, and there was a great rejoicing. And you know what I want you to know as we run this race with the Lord Jesus, I'm going to tell you there is great joy in attaining Christ. And winning Jesus Christ, getting to that goal that God has for us. And I want to tell you something. I don't care what anybody says. It is very much attainable. We can win the Lord Jesus. And Paul's going to give some description here of how he can do that and how we can do that. I want us to see, number one this morning, Paul's aim. His aim. That's where I get that word from. I get that word from what we see there in verse number 14. He says, "I press toward the mark." All right, that mark is what we would consider the aim. That's what he's shooting for. That's what he's going after. The Greek word is skopos, where we get our word scope. Sort of putting the crosshairs on something. For you deer hunters, man, you're looking right for that shoulder. And in different areas of life where you use binoculars or telescope, there is a scope to give specific direction towards something, a specific target. And that's what he's talking about here, a specific target, that mark. There's an aim. There's a focus. Something to shoot towards. And I'm afraid sometimes, and in my own life, sometimes we wander around this earth seemingly just aimlessly. Like we don't have anything to shoot towards. Like we don't have a scope or a target, a mark. But friend, we do. And Paul is saying here that, number one, we see that Paul is saying, "I press toward the mark." Now listen, we're going to talk about what this mark was, what the aim was. Paul was not content to be stagnant. He was not content to be complacent. He was not content to be mediocre. He wanted to grow. He wanted to learn more about the Savior. Paul was, as the old song says, upward bound. We are heaven bound, upward bound. He had a focus, a heavenly focus. We'll see that in Colossians as well, in Colossians chapter 3. But Paul was heavenly minded. And I want to tell you what his mark was, where his goal was. It was to know Jesus Christ. And I'm talking about by experience, going to know Him more and more after a person comes to know Him as Savior, which Paul had most clearly done, then that's only the beginning. That's only the beginning of your great growth with Christ. You come to know Him as Savior, and then you grow to know Him as your King. You grow to know Him as your Master. You grow to know Him as your friend. You grow to know Him as your shepherd. You grow to know Him as your brother. You grow to know Him in so many ways, dear friend. Salvation is only the beginning. And Paul wanted to know his Savior. We saw that in verse 10. That I may know Him, he says, and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Listen, as the trials of life will come in 2017, and they will. Some of us will face deeper valleys than we've ever faced in our whole life in 2017. Only the Lord knows. But the truth of it is, when we do go through those times of suffering, friend, go ahead and make a decision in your heart this day, if you haven't already, that you are willing to accept the pain that will come in this life or this year so that you may better know the sufferings of your Savior. It will greatly help you to know that as you seek to set that aim and that mark to win Christ and to know Him, that realize that that will include valleys. That will include suffering. That will include hard times, difficulties. But in that, you get to know the Savior. There was the mark, the aim, Paul's aim to know his Savior. And as we talked about, look there in verse number 8, where we see that term to win Christ. And we see that in 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. And then it goes on to talk about, though I suffered all these different things, he says that last statement of verse 8, that I may win Christ. Now, just so that I can give much clarity on this, just to clarify any confusion, I am not talking about salvation, and neither is Paul here. He's talking about winning to know the Lord better by experience. Your walk with Him, your love for Him, your communication with Him. Because I'll put it like this, there's no way after receiving Christ as Savior, you can't gain any more of the righteousness of Christ. That's what that Bible word imputation means, imputed to your account, totally put to your account. There's nothing that you can do to earn more of God's righteousness. That's a great confusion, and even in the church today, that there has to be an earning of righteousness. But what Paul is talking about here is simply that you can grow and you can gain more of your knowledge of Christ. And you can grow in your more likeness of Jesus Christ. And that is what we see here in this aim. He was determined that he was not going to focus either. Look at verse 13. And attaining and winning Christ, he says, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, and by the way, I don't have time to do it this morning, but go and study in the Bible where you see that term, one thing. This one thing. It's a very interesting study. But this one thing I do, and Paul is saying here, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, dear friend, you may have some colossal failures in your life. And if you do, I'm in that club too. But I want to tell you something. God does not want you to dwell on those things. He wants you to build on those things. You maybe have made some bad decisions in your life. But God, as Paul will say here, God would have you not to dwell on those things. In fact, Paul says, listen, I forget those things once you're behind. I am pressing toward. I'm moving forward. I'm not going to let those, as Pastor Kent used to tell us. He says, listen, do not let your past build on you. You build on your past. Take what God has taught you and through some bad decisions. And yes, there's consequences that are dealt with. But listen, move forward. That, my friend, you will know Christ better, because if you're doing that, you know what you're doing? You're learning more about His forgiveness. You're learning more about how powerful His blood is when it truly cleanses you. Praise God for that. This aim, this mark, it included also His focus on Christ. As we read in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, His mark in the race was Christ. In fact, hold your place over there and we'll just read that verse. Go over there and look in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. The Word of God says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and get this, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Get this, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The writer of the Hebrews says, look, in this race, and you want to have a scope, you want to have an aim, a mark, a target, make it Jesus Christ. Look unto Him this morning. Look unto Him. And I want to tell you, as the songwriter says, forgive me if I butchered the song here, but the idea was, when you looking unto Jesus, all other things will just fade away. The problems, the mountains that you're facing, it will fade as your focus is on Christ. And then, of course, also this in the finality of His desire to know Christ, it was eventually, again, to be with Christ. Go back there to Philippians. And Philippians chapter 1, we see Paul says here, for to me to live is Christ, but he says here, and to die is gain. Gain. He was moving forward. He would win. That would be the final lap, if you will, when he gets to be with his Savior in person, to be with Christ. So we see here the mark, the scope, if you will, the aim, Paul's aim. But number two, along with this aim, how do we get to this mark? How do we achieve this mark? Where's the practicality of us being able to do that as God's children? Well, I believe Paul gives us instruction there. And that number two, I want us to see Paul's resolve. Paul's resolve, and that's where I want to see here in our passage back in Philippians chapter 3. We see verse number 12, that first verb we see there in verse 14, says, I press. I press. Now that's the Greek word dioko, which actually has several different ways of uses in the Greek language. In fact, it's used a good bit in the subject of persecution. You go back in passages such as Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, and several others, that same Greek word is used almost with somewhat of a negative connotation, simply meaning persecuted. Now that means somebody pressing towards you aggressively, pressing towards someone to cause harm. But in this use of that word, it's used more in a positive light, and Paul is saying, listen, you need to press forward aggressively, but to win the race. To run the race, and not to cause harm, but to follow after the Lord Jesus. This word here is an action verb. This is the action to reach the goal. And can I bring it on down even more? Get this, church. This is where we see personal responsibility. Personal responsibility. I know the term is used that, listen, it's not me, but it's the Lord that does the power and achieves the goals. And that's true. It's His power that enables me. But I do have a responsibility, folks, to make myself available. And so do you, for the Lord to use. And that's where I can see this resolve. It's a choice that I heard from my pastor say many times. It is a choice of the will. For you to attain the things that God wants you to attain in this life, in your race, there is some resolve that has to be made. And we're going to talk about exactly how to go about doing that. This idea of pressing carries the idea of an intense endeavor. It is a serious thing. I've enjoyed, I didn't get to watch as many while we were on vacation, but I have seen some since the beginning of bowl season, some good bowl games, and this happens in NFL too, but one of the things I'm amazed about on some of these running backs, Brother Thomas, and even receivers, and even some quarterbacks, but man, is when they are got that ball and they are pressing toward the mark. Now, that mark is the goal line, of course. And I have seen those rascals literally stretch straight out above the ground, almost looking like Superman. And with that ball stretched out as far as they can, if they can just get the tip of it across that line, that, my friend, is a picture of pressing. That, my friend, is a picture of pressing toward the mark. With great with great endurance, with great effort. And I'm afraid many times we make excuses that we can't do anything, and what it all boils back down to is we're not really willing to make the effort. We're not willing to stretch out and present ourselves. That's why Paul said to the Romans, that's why he said, listen, you got a responsibility. He says, present yourselves. Well, that sounds like me, some personal responsibility, doesn't it? It doesn't say, listen, let God present you. No, he says, present yourself. Make yourself available. Put forth the effort. And I believe that's where we see here Paul talking about the resolve. Listen, just in that passage that we read, to that ending point, just half of this chapter really, I count 10 action verbs. Just in this passage, and many of them are athletic terms. And again, it gives that strong indication of responsibility. Hey, listen, God is going to live through you. And the Holy Spirit is going to give us great victory, church. There's no doubt about it. But there must first be an effort put forth. And saying, Lord, You know I got these things that I'm wanting to accomplish for You. I'm wanting to win You and to know You. And Lord, I know I'm weak and I can't do this in my flesh, but Lord, I want to make an effort. I want to make an effort and make a difference. A choice to yield. You know, again, it goes back to being an instrument in the hands of God. An instrument for righteousness' sake. This means we cannot live victoriously. Can I say this? We cannot live victoriously unless we have first yielded ourselves, our mind, our body, my will, everything about me. That is the pressing part. That's where there will be pain. That's where I'll have to deny this flesh of mine. I can't remember who it was. It was a boxer back in the 1950s, I believe it was. But he was training for a world champion fight. And the name is slipping my mind, but this is recorded in an interview. It's official. But they were talking to me, how do you get ready for this fight? What are you doing to prepare yourself? And one of the things that he said, you know, in his training and putting forth his effort is his great need to deny himself. And it was kind of funny because one of the things they said, well, what do you mean, deny yourself? Well, one of the illustrations he gave is like, said, boy, I'll tell you what, I love those buttermilk biscuits. And he said, every time he was tempted, those buttermilk biscuits, boy, they would scream out to him and he would say, no, I want to win. No, I want to win. And every time he would be tempted to have those buttermilk biscuits, that's how he would respond. He would say, no, I want to win. And folks, that's what we have to do. If we want to win this race, we're going to have to learn to say no. We're going to have to learn to say no to this old flesh of ours that wants to make excuse for sin. We're going to have to say no to this flesh that doesn't want to give all to the Lord. Hey, I'm telling you what, we need to learn how to say no and make forth that effort of presenting ourselves. You know, again, hey, God's not going to get you out of bed in the morning. You're going to have to get out yourself. Throw those covers off, plant those feet on the ground, and man, say, Lord, I can't do this day without You, but I'm making the effort to go forward. Hey, listen, God's not going to magically take your Bible off that shelf and float it right down upon your lap and then tilt your head down and start reading it like Alexander Scorby. It's going to take effort for you to go over to that Bible. That secret place that you have, where the recliner is, perhaps, or where your room, and you grab that Bible. You make forth that effort. You open it up to the passage of Scripture that God has led you to. And you read it with great effort, and through that, the power of the Holy Ghost will come upon you, my friend. And He will help you. He will teach you. He will encourage you. He will guide you. And He will win the race through you. He will be with you. And that, my friend, is what I believe Paul is talking about here when he's talking about pressing. It's when it comes to praying, God's not going to pray necessarily for us in the sense of moving us into a place and forcing us to pray. That's not what He does. He's going to allow us to do that voluntarily. And then He's going to help us as we make forth the effort.
Hey, sometimes, you know when you get in those stages of life where you don't even feel like you can get a hold of God? We've all been there. Where you just feel like you're not getting in touch. There's something breaking. That could be sin, or that could just be just tiredness, weakness, whatever the case may be. But let me give you an encouragement here. Just go ahead and tell your flesh no anyway, or the devil no, and you go and you just start praying. And you'll notice as you start speaking to the Lord, I want to tell you there will be a supernatural power come over you. And then you will have liberty in praying. God will help you because He sees you making the effort. Though you may not feel like you have the will to do it or the ability to do it, God will enable you as you make forth the effort. It's a battle, isn't it? It's a race, but it's a battle. That's why Paul said in Corinthians, he says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection." You know what that means? That means, again, what I was saying, just learning to say no. Learning to say no. In my time in the military, I thank God for my time in the military. I really, really do. It was a godsend. I was lost at the time, but I was also with being lost. I mean, I know lost people that are very disciplined, but I was a lost person that was very much lacking discipline. I was just wandering around aimlessly. But I want to tell you something. When I got into that military, man, a lot of that started changing. I realized I just couldn't stroll through life and do what I wanted to do. There was some accountability. And I could get, if I wanted to do that, you know what? I would get embarrassed. Those company commanders, they would not have any mercy upon me. Listen, there was none of that. There was a responsibility to listen, you when I come to your locker, young man, I better find everything in exact order. Things better be shined. Things better be rolled up. Your shirts, everything about it. Your uniforms lined up in a specific order. Everything to the T. Your bed, there should be no creases. Hey, listen, there was an expectation there. And guess what they were teaching us? Did I have to continue doing that to the specific order, to the specific extreme that I had to do in boot camp? Of course not. But the fact of the matter is, when I left there after 9 weeks, those people had successfully instilled some discipline into my life. And I believe that's something that's lacking in our Christian church. It's just a matter of discipline. Being willing to make forth the effort. To make the preparations. Hey, we got a new year. Listen, church, I want to encourage you today and this coming week. What about your preparations for the new year? Have you laid out some preparations? Have you laid out a plan? Some things you'd like to do for the Lord this year? Have you maybe wrote out maybe something, maybe perhaps like how many times you'd like to read your Bible or how many times you'd like to read your New Testament. Perhaps some amount of people that you would love to see come to Christ through your personal soul winning. Perhaps something you'd like to accomplish in this church. Perhaps it's something that you would like to accomplish with your family or see your children do to encourage. Listen, there is an effort. There's got to be some preparations made and some discipline made. And that's going to start off by you setting out some things in order. Preparations. Then there's going to be the practice. And then there's going to be the participation. You just getting involved in doing it. Because if you're like me, boy, I can come up with some doozies of resolution lists. Now, you should see some. I've been embarrassed to look back at them. I had like 95 one year. I think I might be exaggerating a little bit, but I'm like, what was I thinking? Setting that many goals? Or can I just give you some encouragement? Listen, set some attainable goals. As you think about year 2017, pressing toward the mark, running the race with the Lord Jesus to win Him, can I say, just ask the Lord to give you some wisdom to set some attainable goals that you would like to do for Him in this race. Listen, if you're going to be a true runner of the Christian race, friend, you're going to have to set some goals. You're going to have to press. You're going to have to go forward. You know, these guys that, again, I use these football illustrations because I like football, but you imagine these quarterbacks going out here and just telling his players, his team, like, listen, we're not going to listen to anything the coach tells us. We're going to do this on our own. That wouldn't fly at all. But then you got the vice versa. Neither would you say, listen, fellas, we're going to let the coach do all of this for us. We're going to let him come out here and win this game. Neither would that take place. You see, there's a balance. There is a balance there of understanding that I have a responsibility to get out and press forward, but we take orders from the coach. We give the plays that he gives. And we go through. And friends, that is a picture of the church and an individual believer. We have a responsibility to get out there and press. We listen to the coach. We take our orders from him. We take our direction from him. It is the Lord God, the Holy Spirit, who coaches us and leads us. And I want to tell you this. Don't ever hesitate to think this. Don't ever doubt this. God will always do His part. He will always do His part. The question we have to ask ourselves this morning is, will we do ours? Are we going to press? Are we going to run with great effort? Not to obtain salvation, friend. That's done. That was finished at the cross of Calvary. But to know the Savior better and to grow in grace and the knowledge of my Lord, and to be greatly used of my God in the church, in my community, and to see people come to Christ, and to see believers encouraged and changed. Hey, to see revival, am I willing to press? Am I willing to let God change me and my family? Well, it's going to take some work. It's going to take some effort. But I want to tell you, because of that, I'll close with this, and I'll make this point short. Because of the mark that he had and the pressing that he had, there was a prize. Look there in closing, there in Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, we see there in verse 14. Look at the prize that we see. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Well, what was this prize that he's referring to? Well, I believe very much so this prize deals with his one day total conformity to Jesus Christ. There would be a total conformity one day. We read in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, when it says, Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when we know that, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. There would be one day when He would press toward that mark in that race, and He would finally meet that prize of total conformity. And even we see in 3, and look at the end of our chapter there in 21. Look what Paul says. He says, Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto the glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. There would be that total conformity. And that's going to be for all believers. We one day will be made like Him and be found like Him. But then secondly, and this is my closing point, this prize consists of a time of rewarding. There's a total conformity, but I believe Paul was also speaking of the time of rewarding. Listen, I know when people run a race, they're running to win. But also when they're running to win, they're running to win a prize. They're running to win and to achieve the victory. And we don't have time to look there, but you can mark your Bibles there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through verse 27. And then you can also go and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. And it talks about our rewards as Christians. Listen, there is a reward for those of us, for all God's children. There is a reward. Hey, listen, there is the gaining of rewards, and then there's the loss of rewards. And a lot of times, church, we don't like to talk about the loss of rewards, do we? We take it like our society's moving to in many ways. What our culture is trying to teach us is, look, everybody is a winner. You can be lazy as all get out, not put forth any effort, but Johnny, we're going to give you a ribbon, okay? Now, I know in many ways there are contexts where that would be appropriate. I understand that, but the fact of the matter is, look, we do have a race, and God is expecting us to run it and to press towards it and to know that there is a prize that will come. And that prize, my friend, and I'm just going to go ahead and go over there. We need to do that. Let's do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. He says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize?" Of course, that's a rhetorical question. Of course they're going to win the prize. Those that run and put forth the effort. He says, "So run that you may obtain." And in verse 25, "And every man that striveth," again, there's that active effort word, "for the mastery is temperate in all things." There's the discipline. "Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown." And here's the difference between us and the people in the athletic world. Here's the difference. They strive to obtain a corruptible crown, but for us, for we, an incorruptible. That's our prize. That's something that will never fade away. And look what else he says. "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight." There's another effort verb, another active verb. "Fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Hey, there is a time of rewarding that will come. You know, if we fail, and it goes back to eternal security, when we fail in this race, when we fall, listen, there is not a loss, if you will, of citizenship. Just because an American goes to the Olympics and fails completely, doesn't even qualify or something, doesn't mean he's no longer an American. Just means he won't get the reward. But I want to tell you something. You go. You go to the race. You go to the race, and there'll be a loss of reward, but not a loss of our citizenship. But listen, if we want the reward to win Christ, there's got to be that time of pressing. There's got to be a goal set. You know, I'm looking forward to next Monday. And there's going to be a national championship. And I'm not bragging, Brother Rick, I'm not bragging, I promise. But it just happens to be one of my teams, okay? Clemson and Alabama. Brother Jim, you think we ought to watch that together? That will be a big game, folks. And I want to tell you that they're going to be striving for that big Dr. Pepper trophy with that big crystal football and man, I'm telling you what, they're preparing already. You guarantee this week, I want to tell you, you ain't never seen some preparation in athletics. I guarantee those guys are going to be in the film room. They're going to be watching, Clemson guys are going to be watching all the Alabama plays. Alabama players and coaches, they're going to be watching all the Clemson plays. Man, they're going to be running drills this week. Man, they're just going to be running all kinds of scenarios. There's going to be a great preparation and a great effort. And buddy, that's just the beginning. When they get out there on that field Monday night, and man, those offensive linemen and those defensive linemen set up, and man, there is going to be a grand battle. There's going to be a grand effort that they're going to try to attain that mark, that goal, that prize of winning the national championship. But friends, as the Word of God says, those people will be out there on that field to obtain and to press toward a corruptible crown. But for us, those that are believers in Jesus Christ, when we strive, when we put forth effort as Christians to live more godly in Christ Jesus, I want to tell you, you are obtaining a crown that is incorruptible. And God one day will look at you, my friend. He will look at me. And if we've run this race with patience, not perfectly, but if we've run the race and have put forth the effort and have fought and battled, I believe we will hear one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Hey, listen, what is your goal for 2017? What do you want to attain? Is it all about the money? Is it all about the fame? Is it all about the popularity? Is it all about the pleasure? Hey, let's get back to the focus that Paul is speaking of here. Paul, this one thing I do. He wanted to win Christ, to know Him like he's never known Him before. As I mentioned earlier, church, you have a lane. You have a lane. You know those tracks. Those of you that run track, I've never run track before, but I know that I've seen people that have. And you know they got those lines about. I never did figure it out. I always thought those guys on the outside were getting a head start, but that's not true, right, Brother Ricky? I know, but they would, the way they would line those lanes up, listen, can I say, every one of us in this room this morning, please take this to heart. We all have a lane. You have a lane. I have a lane. God's laid out a lane for each of us. There's going to be different races for each of those lanes. But I want to tell you, you have one personally picked out that God has picked out for you. And get this, nobody will be able to run your race for you. You've got to make a decision that, God, I'm going to run this race. I'm going to run it with your power and your strength and your guiding. I'm going to run it. Or you can pretend that it's not a race. And you could stand there at the start and know that that pistol goes off. Pow! Man, the runners are off. You can stand there as a believer in God and just twiddle your thumbs. But I want to tell you what, there will be a great loss of reward. And I just want to encourage you, church, and God knows my heart. Lord, help me. Help us, Lord, to realize the race we're running. To win Christ, to know Him better, that our church would grow to know Christ more than we ever have before. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for a new year of new possibilities, of new opportunities. Lord, I'm thankful for Your mercies. And I'm thankful that, Lord, as Paul said, we do not need to look behind us at past failures, but we need to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, would You help us as a church to press toward the mark of the prize of our high calling in God by Christ Jesus? Lord, would You help each individual here, however You have dealt with them this morning? I pray decisions will be made that would give the very foundation that they need for 2017 to be the racer they need to be, the one they need to be for Your glory. Lord, I'm asking You to deal with hearts and change us just the way You would have it. Would You bless now in the invitation time, Father God? For this is what I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just think with me for a second and pray? If there's someone here today and you would say, I'm not sure if I'm even in the race. I'm not even sure if I have found my place on the track. In other words, you've never even received Christ. Listen, you can't even start the race until you've received the Savior. You say today, Pastor, I don't even know if I've even started this race. Would you pray for me? I have questions about even becoming a Christian and knowing I'm on my way to heaven. Would you raise your hand high so that I can see you? You say, I'm not even sure if I'm a Christian, but I have questions and I would ask you to pray for me. Lift it up high so I could see it. All right, my next question is for you, believers, children of the Lord. What about your race? Are you running? Are you pressing? Do you have a goal? Do you have a mark? What is the Lord doing in your heart and life? You respond in the invitation time. Would you stand with me, Brother Mike?
Hymn number 826. I have decided to follow Jesus. Hymn number 826.